We told you yesterday about Microsoft's new Surface Book laptop, but one journalist, Mashable's Lance Ulanoff, got an inside look at the device and exactly how it was made. Lance joins us now. Welcome to the show, Lance.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Now let's start with the most obvious feature of the Surface Book, the hinge. What's the deal with that hinge?
So they wanted to do something different. I sat down with Panos Panay, who's the new Windows new head of all devices, and Ralph Grohn, I think is the way you say his name, was their chief creative guy or creative director. And they had this idea for a laptop, first and foremost. But they wanted to create this balance. So, you know, one, something that could come apart, but also balance in a way so it still looked like a laptop and still folded like a laptop. So that created a very sort of specific problem for them. And standard hinge wasn't going to do it. And they came up with this four-part hinge that basically what it fundamentally does is it extends the base. It extends the base out by kind of rolling out almost like a carpet and going forward. And I got to see the very earliest prototypes of this little design, which, by the way, they wouldn't tell me who's the guy, who's the mastermind behind the special hinge. But they started as plastic, and it just kind of became this really exquisitely designed thing that after a while, I think they started to get a little crazy about it, because once they figured it out and once it was going to be part of the Surface Book, then they wanted to show it off in a way. And Panos talked about this thing called a KISS, which at first when he started talking about this, I really had no idea where he was going with it. It was very strange.
Sounds very uncomfortable.
but basically, and I did notice it, but I didn't put it all together. When I was holding the Surface Book, I noticed on the outside edge, each of the four pieces of metal, it's all magnesium, seemed shiny, almost like I thought there was plastic on them, quite honestly. It turns out that's the KISS, this little bit of elegance. And they wanted to show the precision in a way that's a very sort of Apple-like conversation. And, you know, the more I talked to these guys, the two of them, and more in particular Panos, I was seeing a passion for bringing products to market that didn't necessarily exist at Microsoft for a long time, not at this level, but you know, it feels like a different place, and this is certainly a different kind of product for them.
Well, KISS or no KISS, Lance, I do think the hinge is pretty innovative. I'd like to see this coming out of Microsoft. It does, as you said, extend the footprint of the device, which makes it more lappable, which I like.
Lappability.
There you go. Let's talk about the actual two pieces of it, the base and the tablet, mm-hmm. because, well, I say tablet because the screen pulls off, but they're calling it a clipboard. It does not have a hinged back like the Surface Pro does, so it is more of a slate than anything else. But the base, it seems, is heavier, and that makes sense to me because you don't want this tippable. You want it lappable and not tippable. You want it stable. But I'm a little concerned about, it seems like most of the battery bits are in the base of this, and that the clipboard or tablet piece is lighter because it has less battery inside. And I'm hearing, and maybe you can confirm, that the tablet bit or the clipboard only gets about 3 hours of battery life. What have you heard on that?
Right. Well, at the event, they actually told me that it was, I think it was 3 to 4 top and roughly 8 on the base. So there is more battery in the base. The base is designed to be heavier, but not a lot heavier. You know, it's a bit of a balancing act here because they did, you know, you're not designing, and this is why they had to do that special thing with the base. You're not simply designing a screen. You're designing a full-blown computer that's attached to a base that actually also adds some computing power because, as I talked about on the launch, there is a GPU, a discrete GPU in the base of the device. So when you put it all together, you gain the benefit of that. But yeah, the idea of having it balance, being lappable, and balance was of critical importance. I talked a lot about that in my discussion with them about figuring out the design, figuring out the weight, and also figuring out, you know, I want to back up for 1 second because one thing to keep in mind here is that, yes, there's less battery life on the tablet, but they told me that they expect that 80% of the time this will be used as a laptop. And then the 20%, it'll be detached for some, you know, for something else. But a lot of times you may use it, you know, you can detach the screen, flip it around and put it back in, and then you close the device. So now the screen is on the outside and it's sort of this sketchbook mode, which they expect a lot of people to use. So that's, which again, gives it more power too. So there's that as well. I'm trying to remember what else I was going to say about it. There's a lot of, I mean, it's so much new technology for Microsoft that, you know, initially, you know, since we didn't expect this at all, there were no leaks. They told me they gave people access to the final product about a week and a half before yesterday's event. So one of the reasons no one knew this was coming. So it really caught us all by surprise. So it was certainly a lot to ingest.
Lance, years ago, I think it was like 6 years ago, Microsoft had a prototype device called the Courier.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
And it was a new type of tablet. And it was, if I recall, it had two screens on it. Yes. It was kind of a book-like thing. This device is called the Book. Did they tell you why they have the name Book, the word Book, in the title of this device?
Well, from the earliest days of designing it almost 2 years ago, Panos was sort of saying, let's make the ultimate laptop, but let's like think of it like a book so people can hold it like a book, sort of carry it about that way. You know, you notice when you close it, instead of it being this flat slab, right, it's actually opened at sort of toward the hinge like that. So it has this unusual gap. I kind of pressed them a little bit on this because I was a little concerned about the gap being not strong enough. You know, would it open it up to more issues? But they said they've tested it and, you know, it's strong as any laptop out there. But it does create that look. It, more than anything, it creates that look of a book. And, of course, then they use the metaphor of they don't call the top a tablet. They call it a clipboard. You know, you remove the clipboard. So, you know, there's all these sort of, you know, things that they've done to sort of try and suggest to you how you should think about it. And they've done things, too, that Microsoft's paid a lot of attention to sort of how you feel about the Surface Book and how it makes you feel when you use it. So one really good example is what happens when you detach the screen. First of all, it won't just detach by pulling it off. So I have a Surface. I'm actually doing our call right now on a Surface Pro 3. And that you just pull apart from the keyboard. But the Surface Book, if you tried to do that, it wouldn't come apart. There's a dedicated button. When you hit that dedicated button, you hold it down for about 2 seconds, which I think is a slight learning curve, not a big one. But you actually hear something. You hear like this click, and then you just lift the screen out. But what they told me is the click is like a fake. There is no click.
Wow.
The technology that's used to unlock it doesn't actually make a sound. So they added a sound.
Wow.
They added something to sort of give you the so-called confidence that it is ready to be removed or fully inserted.
So if Microsoft assumes correctly that 80% of this time this will be used as a laptop, it's mm-hmm. obvious that it needs a good keyboard, good trackpad on that base. And I use a Surface Pro 3 as well, and I'm actually pretty happy with the Type cover, not so much with the trackpad on it right now. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit larger, and it looks nicer. Have you gotten a chance to actually type on it, use the trackpad? And if so, what did you think?
Very briefly at the event, great action on the keyboard. The keys are separated, they're great size. It feels full size. It's obviously 13-inch laptop, so you've got all the space, and they definitely use it well for the trackpad. But always with trackpads, you need a lot of time with them to really know whether or not they're going to be good. I've had some terrible ones, and I've had some great ones, and from all the major manufacturers, with the exception of Apple, which has always done, honestly, a really good job with them. But it certainly looks bigger and better, so I'm hopeful.
Lance, I promised to get you off in 5 minutes, and I really apologize. We went longer than that, but this is just so fascinating. And if I could impose on you one last compound question, which is, number one, do you want to buy one? And number two, is Microsoft back? Is this going to put Microsoft back on the map as a major player in the business, I guess?
Well, it's definitely too early to say whether or not I want to buy one. I will tell you that as somebody who uses a Surface Pro 3 every single day, I have a decision to make. Am I someone who wants the upgrade, the Surface Pro 4, or am I somebody who's going to switch to the Surface Book? Now, the Surface Pro 4 is still going to be lighter, I think, in total than the Surface Book. But the Surface Book has, I think, potentially more power. Elegant. It's beautiful to look at. They both have touch screens, which I believe I really like and I want, and they both have the great pens. So it is, I don't know, but it's a great, and I think that's something that Panos said to me yesterday, that he thinks is a great problem for his customers to have. As far as the company being back, you know, I think Microsoft is in a very interesting place right now. It is able to do sort of hide in plain sight. Every time they do something like the Surface Book or the HoloLens where they actually surprise us, people are like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And, you know, how are they keeping secrets when no one else, including Apple, can anymore? Because no one's paying attention. Because people still believe that Microsoft is somebody who is not innovating, who is not breaking new ground, who is not leading. But if you've been paying attention over the last 2 years, what you have seen is that Microsoft is leading in a key area, and that is in the computing, the laptop computing space. How many knockoffs are we seeing of the Surface Pro 3? How many companies suddenly, like Google and even Apple, are introducing things we never thought they would? Apple has a keyboard. Apple has a pen. Apple puts them together and shows you the iPad Pro. That is something that Microsoft hasn't led in a very long time. I think they feel that. They sense it. And I don't think Microsoft ever went away. I've had this argument with many people. There are 300 million people out there using Windows, probably nearly that many using Office. They have a great business. They make a lot of money. But they're finally doing something that they probably never quite did before, truly putting the hardware and software together in a way that makes something different and that people actually want.